Hello, and welcome to your Jane Eyre Study Podcast. I'm here to help you master Charlotte Bronte's incredible novel for your OCR GCSE English Literature exam. Over the next 10 minutes, we'll explore the key concepts you need to know, unpack examiner expectations, and make sure you're ready to earn top marks on Paper 1, Component 01, Section B. Jane Eyre is one of the most rewarding texts you'll study at GCSE. It's a Gothic Bildungsroman that's a coming-of-age story that follows Jane from her traumatic childhood at Gateshead Hall all the way to her eventual marriage to Mr. Rochester at Ferndean Manor. What makes this novel so powerful is how Bronte uses Jane's journey to explore themes of independence, social class, religion, and gender equality, all within the constraints of Victorian society. For your exam, you'll receive a printed extract from the novel, and you'll need to write a sustained response that balances close analysis of that extract with discussion of the wider text. The key to success is integrating your understanding of Bronte's methods, her language choices, narrative structure, and use of Gothic conventions with thoughtful contextualization about Victorian society. Let's dive in. First, let's talk about the structure of Jane Eyre as a Bildungsroman. The novel is divided into five key stages, each representing a phase in Jane's psychological and moral development. Stage one is Gateshead Hall, where 10-year-old Jane is orphaned, oppressed, and locked in the terrifying Red Room. This is where Bronte establishes Jane's fierce sense of justice and her refusal to be silenced. The Red Room is a Gothic symbol of entrapment and female oppression. Note how Bronte uses the color red to foreshadow passion and danger throughout the novel. Stage two is Lowood School, where Jane receives an education but also witnesses the hypocrisy of Mr. Brocklehurst, who preaches Christian humility while living in luxury. Here, Jane's friendship with Helen Burns teaches her stoicism and forgiveness, but Jane never fully accepts Helen's passive suffering. This tension between passion and restraint is central to Jane's character. Stage three is Thornfield Hall, the Gothic heart of the novel. As a governess, Jane occupies a liminal social position. She's educated like a lady, but employed like a servant. Her relationship with Mr. Rochester is built on intellectual equality, but it's also marked by secrecy and deception. The madwoman in the attic, Bertha Mason, is Jane's Gothic double, a symbol of repressed female rage and sexuality. When Jane discovers Rochester is already married, she makes the radical choice to leave, prioritizing her moral integrity over her passion. Stage four is Morehouse and Morton, where Jane finds kinship with the River siblings and financial independence through her inheritance. St. John Rivers proposes marriage, but it's a cold, dutiful proposal based on religious mission, not love. Jane's refusal shows her growth. She will not sacrifice her selfhood for duty. Finally, stage five is Ferndean Manor, where Jane and Rochester reunite as equals. Rochester is now blind and physically dependent, which symbolically levels the power imbalance between them. Their marriage represents the novel's resolution, a union of passion and principle, independence and love. Now, let's talk about Bronte's narrative methods. The novel is written in retrospective first-person narration, meaning the older Mary Jane is looking back on her younger self. This creates a dual perspective. We experience events through young Jane's eyes, but we also get the mature narrator's reflective commentary. Examiners reward candidates who distinguish between these two voices. Bronte also uses pathetic fallacy extensively. The weather and landscape mirror Jane's emotional state. Think of the stormy night when Rochester proposes, or the bleak moors when Jane is wandering homeless. This technique reinforces the novel's romantic and Gothic elements. In terms of context, you need to understand the governess's liminal position in Victorian society. Governesses were educated women from genteel but impoverished families, and they occupied an uncomfortable space between the family and the servants. Jane's assertion of equality with Rochester, "Do you think, because I am poor, obscure, plain, and little, I am soulless and heartless?" is radical for its time. You should also be prepared to discuss Bronte's critique of religious hypocrisy through Brocklehurst and the cold evangelicalism of St. John Rivers, contrasted with Helen Burns' genuine Christian faith. And don't forget the feminist reading of the novel. While Jane isn't a feminist in the modern sense, her insistence on self-respect, economic independence, and moral autonomy challenges Victorian gender norms. Right, let's talk exam strategy. For a typical Jane Eyre question, you'll have 30 marks for your analysis, plus 4 marks for spelling, punctuation, and grammar. That's a total of 34 marks, and you should spend about 45 to 50 minutes on your response. The question will usually ask you to explore how Bronte presents a particular theme or character, starting with the given extract. Here's the golden rule. Spend roughly half your time on the extract and half on the wider text. Use the extract for detailed close analysis of language and methods. This is where you demonstrate AO2. Then, select three or four key moments from elsewhere in the novel that contrast with or develop the ideas in the extract. This shows your conceptual grasp of the whole text, which is AO1. Context, that's AO3, should be woven throughout your response, not bolted on in a separate paragraph. For example, instead of writing Victorian women had limited rights, integrate it. Brandt presents Jane's refusal of St. John's proposal as an assertion of selfhood that challenges the Victorian expectation that women should prioritize duty over personal fulfillment. Now, let's talk about common mistakes. The biggest error candidates make is treating the extract as an unseen text and failing to link it to the rest of the novel. Remember, the extract is a springboard, not the whole answer. Another mistake is feature spotting, just identifying techniques without analyzing their effect. Don't write Bronte uses a metaphor. Instead, write Bronte's metaphor of fire represents Jane's passionate nature, which she must learn to balance with reason. Also, avoid retelling the plot. The examiner knows the story. Focus on how Bronte presents ideas through her choices of language, structure, and form. And finally, don't make vague assertions about Bronte being a feminist without qualifying them. Jane's independence is remarkable for the 1840s, but she still operates within Victorian constraints. Acknowledge that complexity. Okay, quick fire recall time. Pause the podcast after each question and see if you can answer without looking at your notes. Question 1. What does the Red Room symbolize and why is it significant? Question 2. Name two ways Bronte uses Gothic conventions in the novel. Question 3. What is the function of Bertha Mason as Jane's Gothic double? Question 4. How does the retrospective first-person narrative affect the reader's understanding of events? Question 5. Why does Jane refuse St. John River's proposal? How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review those sections in your notes. All right, let's wrap up. Jane Eyre is a rich, complex novel that rewards close reading and thoughtful contextualization. Remember the 5 stages of Jane's journey: Gateshead, Lowood, Thornfield, Moorhouse, and Ferndene, and how each stage develops her character. Focus on Bronte's methods: the dual narrative voice, Gothic symbolism, pathetic fallacy, and the Bildungsroman structure. Integrate context seamlessly, especially regarding the governess's social position, Victorian gender roles, and religious hypocrisy. In the exam, balance your analysis between the extract and the wider text, avoid plot retelling, and always link techniques to their effects. With careful preparation and active revision using retrieval practice, you'll be ready to produce a confident, conceptual response that earns top marks. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your revision. You've got this.